From the prayers of Lord Brahma, 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 14, text 11.
Vaham tamo mat aham kacha rakni varbhu. Kacha Ragni Babu
Samveshtitanda Gata Sapta Vita Stikaya
Samveshtitanda Gata Sapta Vita Stikaya.
Vitrik vidavi ganitanda paranucharaya.
Vitrik vidavi ganitanda paranucharaya.
Vatat varoma vivarasya chati mahitvam.
Vatat varoma vivarasya chati mahitvam.
Kvahantamo Mahat aham kacharak nivarbhur.
Aham namo mahat aham kacharak nivarbhur.
Samveshti tanda kata sapta vitastikaya.
Samveshti tanda kata sapta vitastikaya.
Vetrik vidha viganitanda paranucharaya.
Vetrik vidha viganitanda paranucharaya.
Vatat varoma vivarasya chate mahitvam.
Vatat varoma vivarasya chate mahitvam.
Samveshtitanda
gata satta vitastikaya. Vedrik vidavi ganitanda paranucharya.
Because I only have another purpose.
So
when the chanting is finished,
Mata, please.
Namo Mahadevam. Sarabhivargo. Sameshtitanta-gata-sapta-vitastikaya. Vedri-gvidhavi-ganitanta-paranuchaya. Pātāl-varoma-vivarasya-chate-mahitvam.
Thank you very much. This is the prayer of Lord Brahma after he had surrendered to Krishna. It is a very humble prayer spoken by the supreme intelligent being, the creator of this universe, after he saw who is Krishna. So let us repeat. Kva Ver Aham I Tamaha the material nature. Mahat the total material energy. Aham false ego. Ka ether. Chara air. Agni fire. Vaha water. Hu earth. Samveshtita surrounded by. Andagata a pot-like universe. Saptavitasti seven spans. Kayaha body. Kva where. Idrik such. Vidha like. Abhiganita unlimited. Anda universes. Haranu like the atomic dust. Chalaya moving. Vatatva air holes. Roma of hair on the body. Vibarasya of the holes. Cha also. Te your. Mahitvam greatness. So we can just imagine Brahma has witnessed Krishna's amazing Aishwarya potency, where Krishna had expanded himself first into Vasudev forms, and from these Vasudev forms they transformed or transmorphed into the unlimited number of cowherd boys and calves. Rama was totally bewildered because this was beyond what anyone had ever seen before. The Lord showed him a small glimpse into his unlimited powers, and he afterwards prayed. And this is a prayer. This is so beautiful. What am I? A small creature measuring seven spans of my own hand. Now I would like to ask His Holiness Dhanavir Maharaj, who knows much better English, is a span this measurement? Or what exactly is a span? From the tip of the
small finger, you can do like this to the palates. What is it? The palates. This is one span. So everyone has a body which is seven such spans.
I mean, when I'm in my private room, I will measure this. You know, it goes one. You can measure up the wall. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Then you have the size of your body. It should work with you, otherwise you would be a monster. I don't want to say it like this. But this is the normal way how your body is. If you're Brahma, that's your span because you have, that's your size. If you're Guneshvara, who is tall built, he will have seven. If he is Dira Prashanta, who is even taller, it's also seven. Sharangataku, who is almost as tall, has also seven. And the small Radha Kripa, who is maybe four times this thermos high, has also seven spans. I want to make a point. So what am I? What am I? A small creature measuring seven spans of my own hand. I am enclosed in a pot-like universe, like a pot, composed of material nature, the total material energy, false ego, ether, air, water, and earth. And my Lord, what is your glory? Unlimited such universes pass through the pores of your body, just as particles of dust pass through the openings of a screened window. Maybe in your luxury apartments, which you have here in Frishka Goranga, you have a screened window. That means there's a mosquito screen in it, and there's dust passing out from your room when you shake your bedding to make it orderly. Some dust comes and streams out of the windows. So universes stream out of the Lord's body. He's so large. And Brahma now says, what am I in comparison? Seven spans of my hand. Or this would be Brahma's thermos, you know, maybe four thermos high, you know, but very small, very insignificant. Oh, now this thing stopped functioning. What? Please. So simple.
Escape.
Purport. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 5, Text 72, Srila Prabhupada gives the following purport for this verse. Then Lord Brahma, after having stolen all of Krishna's cows and cowherd boys, returned and saw that the cows and boys were still roaming with Krishna. So he offered this prayer in his defeat. A conditioned soul, even one so great as Brahma, who manages the affairs of the entire universe, cannot compare to the personality of Godhead. For he, the Lord, can produce numberless universes simply by the spiritual rays emanating from the pores of his body. Material scientists should take lessons from the utterances of Sri Brahma regarding our insignificance in comparison with God. In these prayers of Brahma, there's so much to learn, says Prabhupada, for those who are falsely puffed up by the accumulation of power. In Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, chapter 14, Srila Prabhupada further comments on this verse. Lord Brahma realized his actual position. He is certainly the supreme teacher of this universe, in charge of the production of material nature, consisting of the complete material energy, false ego, sky, air, fire, water, and earth. Such a universe may be gigantic, but it can be measured. Just as we measure our body as 7 spans. Generally, everyone's personal bodily measurement is calculated to be 7 spans of his hand. This particular universe may appear to be a very gigantic body, but it is nothing but the measurement of 7 spans for Lord Brahma. Hare Krishna. Aside from this universe, there are unlimited other universes outside the jurisdiction of this particular Lord Brahma. This is no longer Srila Prabhupada commenting, but his disciples. Just as innumerable atomic infinitesimal fragments pass through the holes of a screen window, so millions and trillions of universes in their seedling form are coming out from the bodily pores of Mahavishnu. And that Mahavishnu is but a part of the plenary expansion of Krishna. Under these circumstances, although Lord Brahma is the supreme creature within this universe, what is his importance in the presence of Lord Krishna? Srimad Bhagavat ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Let us reflect for a moment on Lord Brahma and then reflect on us. Brahma, by comparison, Brahma is here expressing, by making a comparison, his own feelings of absolute insignificance. Brahma has come to a point which hopefully all of us will come to at this lifetime. It's the point of turning fully towards Krishna. He has come to the understanding that he is so small that he needs to absolutely surrender his body, his mind, and his words to Krishna. Let us not think Brahma is a fool because he stole the cowherd voice and we have not done so. Therefore, we are better than Brahma. Let us for a moment really meditate or think about Brahma. He's Atma Bhu or Svayambhu, means he is born from the Lord himself. There was no mother. He comes directly from the Lord as his firstborn son, from the navel of the Lord. It's so intimate, so special. All of us have mothers, but Brahma has only a father. And he is the supreme personality in any subject. For instance, he is the supreme guru. Do you know that even Shiva
And Indra considers Brahma to be their guru. Do you know this? When they don't know any longer, they all usually go to Brahma's planet and ask for an advice what they should do in this case. And often Brahma, he's the firstborn son, he's very close to the Lord. He gives them the advice to pray. Like when this planet Earth was totally overwhelmed by the demoniac forces, and there was Kamsa. Everyone came to Brahma and they went to the milk ocean, and everyone chose Brahma to address the Lord. You know, Brahma is further omniscient, because Lord Krishna directly gave him the knowledge into his heart. Brahma can know anything. He just needs to go like this and he knows everything. He's omniscient. When he was testing Krishna, or in a way even challenging Krishna, he couldn't understand what was happening. He was bewildered. He sat down to go into a mystic trance and contact this quality of omniscience. But before Krishna, it didn't work. But otherwise, it works. But still, Brahma could not find out that the boys he had stolen were created by Krishna's Bahiranga Shakti. The ones Krishna was playing were created by Krishna's Antarangi Shakti. They were Krishna himself. Brahma was really not able to penetrate the Maya, which the illusion, Yoga Maya, which Lord Krishna had done to shield himself off. So when Brahma had his breakdown, he came to the position in which all of us know. I sincerely hope that all of us will have a breakdown. Not a psychological breakdown, not a physical breakdown, not an emotional breakdown. Well, emotional, let's look at this in a second. Not a nervous breakdown, but an ego breakdown. Because our insignificant Hare Krishna, small, ugly egos, they inflate a concept of us which is totally illusory. All of us are ego balloons. etc., etc., etc. Yasam lech moy kosha charismatitska velike and so on. Our ego has inflated a wrong conception of us. I am a big guru. Can happen even. Sannyasi. But if you want to know Krishna, this ego has to melt down. Total breakdown of the ego. Burn it. And let it not come up again like Prometheus. I tried to write a poem. You will laugh about me because I'm so inexpert, but I tried. So here it is for you. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
I would read it anyways. So listen, it's a little poetic. Fall on the ground,
and he will lift you up higher than heavens. Surrender all, and he will give you more than you could ever imagine. Call his name humbly, and he will open the doors wider than the oceans. My dear devotees, the way up is in spiritual life is always the way down, 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 the breakdown of the false ego. That's when the Lord is pleased with you. That's when he will lift you up and make you a responsible devotee. Lord Brahma came to this point by the mercy of Krishna. Krishna had chastised him, and now Brahma was ready. He looked at the Lord, and what he noticed was that the Lord was smiling. The smile of the Lord was further intriguing Brahma, because it looked like the increasing light of the moon. Moonlight is very soothing and very refreshing. It's very pleasing to the heart. So Brahma saw that that smile of the Lord. Once somebody asked one of my God brothers, why does the Lord always smile? When Arjuna came to him and had his breakdown, the Lord smiled. What is so funny to smile? Shouldn't the Lord cry, seeing the misery and the sad condition of the souls in this, the wayward souls of this world? Shouldn't he be a little bit more disturbed by what is going on in the world? The answer is the Lord cannot be sad, because he is Anandamayi. He is full of incredible bliss, which doesn't come from outside sources and is therefore not disturbed by outside forces. Like our happiness comes from outside, either from people who are kind to us, or from things which we use, from books which we read, from music which we hear. It comes from outside. When there is a disturbance in the outside world, an immature person, a beginner of in spiritual life, can be disturbed. Not someone who has found Krishna in the heart and is also in some small ways becoming blissful. But a Krishna can never ever contact sadness. Once it is said, the sun wanted to see the night and sent a letter. Noche, let's have a meeting. I heard you are there, I am also there. So they try to make an appointment. The night said, well, 9 o'clock. I start my career. And the sun tried to come to the meeting place, but when it came to the meeting place, it was no longer night. It was no longer dark. It was bright as sunshine. It was a day. In the same way, Lord Krishna can never meet sadness. It is just not possible. But the good news is,
Krishna can take away all the sadness of everyone who comes into contact with him. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that Krishna dries the ocean of tears which the conditioned souls cry and shed and lose in this world. The ocean of tears. Your tears are also in this ocean. It's an allegorical ocean. All the tears of Draupadi. I think mother sometimes is worried, and maybe you have by now cried. Maybe Madhuri, I don't know. Half of this room? Difficult to say, isn't it? But you know, when all of us cry like this a lot in the life, you know, I'm speaking of a life, this is a huge ocean of misery. Krishna, but it's just by coming in contact with him, all this darkness, all this sadness, all this emotional crisis, it will go. This is said in the Bhagavatam. We human beings can easily be disturbed because we are not full of anandamayi. We are dukkamayi, full of suffering. You know, we who have separated. Prabhupada says someone who is separating from Krishna is a candidate for suffering. Yes, we are what we are. So, if you bring only a little burning straw, you know, which is, it's not really even burning. It is, in English, it's called smoldering. It's like glimmering. And you put it on the skin. Someone is suffering so much. But if you take that little burning straw or smoldering straw and dunk it into the ocean will not boil. The straw will be extinguished very quickly. So nothing can disturb Krishna. Therefore he always smiles. And that is good. Because if Krishna also would become disturbed and become in a disturbed mood, he would not be the shelter of all living entities who are dukkamayi. If Krishna doesn't have this quality, if God doesn't have this quality to be always full of bliss, he wouldn't be able to give shelter to the innumerable conditioned souls. Have you ever tried to take shelter of someone who is miserable and crying? It doesn't work. You have to somehow give energy and attention and respect and a kind hand on the shoulder of the person to build him up again. And he will take shelter at you. Oh, thank you, this really helped me. Thank you for taking the time and sitting with me. Thank you. No? So Krishna is the shelter of all living beings. All. He doesn't make any discrimination. The old person can come to him. The young person can come. The Bhakta in Maya and the sannyasi in Maya. The president in suffering and the street sweeper in suffering. Krishna is there for everyone. He's equally there. And he gives everyone some of his qualities, his bliss. Nanda Dulara. This is, but we have forgotten Krishna. And versa, we have forgotten that we have forgotten Krishna. We are removed 10,000 light years from the Lord in our mind, only in our mind. We have to purify this mind. I wanted to discuss a little bit about Krishna giving shelter to Brahma, because I think that is something which is very relevant for us. Once there was a tree, and this tree was laughing. I don't know how trees laugh, but Apparently there are some trees who can laugh. Shaking, you know. And some saint came by the tree and said, "Why are you shaking with laughter? The whole forest is echoing with laughter. Just from your laughter, you infect everyone." The tree said, "I just can't believe these arrogant fools, the human beings. You know what just happened?" "No," said the saint, "tell me." "But I'm here. I'm giving shade. It's my dharma. I'm born like this, to give shade." And one thirsty little dog came. It was the noon sun. And the dog took shelter in my shade. I'm very happy. I can help someone. My existence has some meaning. Then one of these foolish human beings came, who thought he's the lord of everyone. And he saw the dog. "This is a big tree. There's enough place for everyone." And he took his stick and went hut, 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 and drove away the dog. I'm laughing because he didn't create the shadow. He can't create shadow. He's so useless. He cannot even give shelter to everyone. But he is thinking to control everything and has chased away this dog. What a pathetic human being. So I was laughing. I was laughing. I don't know really the sense of humor of the trees because I'm a human being, but he thought it is extremely amusing. Laughing like this. So I think a little bit we can learn from this enigmatic humor of the tree something. You know, the Lord can give shelter to everyone. He's like so dayamayi, full of mercy, unconditional mercy. And he gives especially mercy and shelter to his dear devotees. He has a weak spot in his heart. He's partial to the devotees. That is not really weakness. It is a strength. He will never let his devotees go. That the devatas are not like this. Indra, for instance. One time, the Brijbasis didn't offer the sacrifice and Indra was ready to kill them. Or Shiva had one devotee, Ravan. You know, when we hear Ravan and we have not read the Ramayana very carefully, we think this is a fool. You know, Ravan was the best pandit which was there at his time. He knew to recite the Vedic scriptures in a way which even Swaha, the wife of Agni, was baffled. It was so good how he knew. But he was against the Lord. That made him an asura. But nevertheless, he was a Vedic pandit. So he was a devotee of Lord Shiva. So when this confrontation happened between Rama and Ravan, Rama had already shot 30 arrows at Ravan. And now he was ready. Ram wanted to bring the Leela to the close, and he took his 31st arrow and he drew the string. Rama knew what the 31st arrow was. He was shaking. He knew that arrow would take his life. So he prayed to Shiva and said, "Shiva, help me now. Help me now. The Lord draws his 31st arrow. Remember all I have done for you.
the many sacrifices I have given you, the many I was ready to cut my heads and offer them to you, Shiva. I'm your devotee. Please, you come now and save me.
The Lord was going. It was drawing. The arrow was coming. He was still drawing it. He was not yet releasing it.
Parvati came, rushed to Shiva. Shiva, what shall the people think if your best devotee, if you're not protecting him? Do something. Do something to save our reputation. Shiva said, don't disturb me now. I'm your wife. I'm telling you, this is not the time to meditate. Your best devotee is going to be killed, and your name and fame is at the stake. Let it be. I can't understand you, my husband. You have protected Ravana up till now. No one was able to kill him by your protection. Yes, said Shiva, his killer, the one who was meant to release us from Ravana, had not yet come. Let me now chant. Be silent.
Finished. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada used to quote something about Krishna, which I would love you to repeat. I will first say it and translate it, and then we will chant this verse. Rakhe Krishna Marekai, Mare Krishna Rakhe. If Lord Krishna protects a person, who can kill him? That means Krishna is such a source of shelter. And if Krishna desires to kill someone, who can protect him? Kindly repeat. Rakhe. Maybe you know it, but some of you will not know it. So let me first say it. Rakhe Krishna Mareke.
Rakhe Krishna Mareke.
Mare Krishna Rakeke.
Mare Krishna Rakeke.
Yeah, if Lord Krishna protects a person, who can kill him? And if Krishna desires to kill someone, who can protect him? So when Lord Brahma, who was humble, looked at Krishna, Sukadev and his opulences, Sukadev noted, he looked on and he was stunned. He could not move. Have you all seen our Ljubljana temple? You have not yet seen it? Before the Ljubljana temple is a naked man. He has not moved since we have the temple. Sometimes a compassionate brahmachari puts a dhoti, not a dhoti, a gamsha around him. But otherwise, he's just standing already, I think, for 20 years or so. He's made of white. He is stunned. Stunned means he can't move. In his case, he's a statue made of iron, commemorating the pioneers who fought against someone in the past, Communist Party. Yes, the communists and who were partisans like Che Guevara, shooting from the mountains. And he is, they were all brutally slaughtered, and he is reminding everyone that yes, in his
human vulnerability. This is a difficult word. I don't say it properly. Vulnerability. Is it okay? We are vulnerable. He was revolting against the tremendous armed forces of the communistic army. So he is reminding us, stand up for the good. That's why he's here. But still, we as devotees, due to our culture, think you should do this dressed, you know. There are many Easter ghosties about the Iron Man in the Ljubljana temple. What to do, you know? Because by there's a law. You should, the monuments must be kept as they are by federal law, and so on. Anyways, my point is, he cannot move. He's made of iron. Brahma was so moved inside that he couldn't move outside. He was so humbled. It was like a real turning point in his life. And Krishna saw that it was getting too much for Brahma, and by the same yoga maya potency through which he had shown all these cowherd boys and calves, he removed the same potency, and now he was standing like a little child in Vrindavan. Brahma could come back to external consciousness. Just like a dead man rises from his dead condition, he stood up and he rubbed his eyes. Then with great difficulties, he looked around and saw Vrindavan. Do you want to see how he saw, when he was humble, Vrindavan? It's also how you will one day see Vrindavan, when you are humble and when you have come to your ego breakdown. You will see it different. Then you won't see the pigs and the dust, and so you will see something else. Here, yatra nai sagaduvara, no yatra nai sagaduvaira sahasanni migadaya mitani vajitavasa dutarut tashakarikam. He saw Vrindavan as the transcendental abode of the Lord. He saw the Vrindavan where there's no hunger, no anger, no thirst. And he saw that both the human beings and fierce animals, although naturally inimical towards each other, were living together in transcendental friendship. Spiritual world, he saw. No enemies, no politics, nothing. Spiritual, no, transcendental friendship. The ideal situation, the aspired situation of devotee relationships. Then he looked further, and he saw Lord Krishna with a little food in his hand. Do you know why Krishna doesn't let go of his food? No? A whole year he had the food in his hand? Now I have my faith crisis in you. I said it. 10 minutes we talked about it. You were not listening. What? Oh, here's someone who got. Sharanga, you saved my faith crisis in the Balkan devotees. Thank you. Rice and yogurt in Sanskrit is bhat. Another meaning? can be bhakta. Krishna will not let go of the food, just to give the sign, I don't let go of my devotees, I keep them in my head always. Those who were not at the lectures, I also didn't know it, I learned it from His Holiness Radha Govinda Maharaj, but those who were in the lectures, please ask yourself, am I there or am I not there? No? That's a good question for you. So when Brahma saw Lord Krishna, he got down from the swan carrier and he just threw himself in the dust. There's a rule for all demigods. A famous saying, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes, that demigods never touch the earth. They just don't do it. It's what is the earth for a demigod? It is not, just like you would not go into a toilet where there is too much, where there is stool and urine on the floor. You know, this is I saw Tibetan toilets. My God, I just thought nature is my bathroom. I don't even think a minute of entering there. So the demigods don't go on planet Earth. They just don't touch it. It's too much rajagun, too much tamagun. No interest really. So, but Brahma threw himself into the dust of Vrindavan, and still he felt awkward because he wanted to touch with all his foreheads the ground. But it was not possible because he had four heads. And you know, one was touching the ground and three were looking awkwardly, left, right. And so he felt even in this situation embarrassed and humbled. And Brahma then cried tears. And I want to read you something about tears. He gave Krishna's lotus feet an abhishek, means a bath of his tears. And this will happen to us when we have that desired ego or pride breakdown. These tears of repentance and separation are what we will need to offer to Krishna one day to become accepted again. These tears are pure tears. They are not shed for anything in the world. They are shed for Krishna. Crying for Krishna is the only price to enter Krishna's association again. Srila Prabhupada writes about this. Devotees, having no shelter other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, naturally cry to him for help, exactly like children who do not know anything but the protection of their parents. This is in Krishna book, chapter 28. When you are in trouble, my dear devotees, you can see how far you are in Krishna consciousness by where do you take shelter. When you take shelter in Krishna, that means you have understood only Krishna can help you. This crying for Krishna is expressed by the devotees through their chanting of the holy name. Srila Prabhupada writes in this connection, I've written this down, the chanting is the spiritual call for the Lord and His energy to give protection to the conditioned soul. This chanting is exactly like the genuine cry of a child for its mother's presence. You know, this type of Krishna consciousness, which is a little bit more intense than the usual comfort zone Krishna consciousness, which we have become accustomed to, is intense. It is there are emotions there which are offered to Krishna. Vrindavan Das Thakur says in this connection, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, three times. He wants to say, Sambandha, Bhakti Yoga in Sambandhas, Bhakti Yoga in Abhideya, and Bhakti Yoga in Prayojana. No? I think we have, you are all a few years here, you know these words. So, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Bhakti Yoga is the greatest treasure. Bhakti Yoga means to cry while remembering Krishna's names. It is intense. It is, if you do it properly, something which goes into all of your being. It will come when you apply yourself properly to devotional service. Then the heart will become soft because the ego has come down. Adi Purana, Krishna speaks, has a heart-to-heart discussion with Arjuna and says, I am purchased by those who sing my names and cry in front of me. I'm not purchased by anything else. Prabhupada used to encourage crying for Krishna, and I was very surprised because I knew the devotee whom he had written this letter to, and it was a, you know, I don't want to say anything arrogant, but a little, you know, newcomer and very emotional by nature. And Prabhupada said, tears for Krishna are as good as associating personally with him. Your feelings and tears of Krishna consciousness will make you more enriched in spiritual advancement. Who of you knows Purnachandra Goswami? He used to say something when we were together. He said, Sachinandam, if you want to get out of this world, you have to crawl on your belly with tears in your eyes. I think he did it. I think he did it. Prabhupada speaks about this because I know I have to convince you with Prabhupada's statements on this, because this is an unusual point in a lecture. One should feel, this now from Nectar of Devotion, one should feelingly pray and become eager to render his particular type of service to the Lord. This is the teachings of all great devotees, especially, can you imagine? Six Goswamis. Yes, he says here, especially Lord Chaitanya. In other words, one should learn how to cry for the Lord. One should learn this small technique. Small technique. Hare Krishna. And he should be very eager and actually cry to become engaged in some particular type of service. This is called lolyam. And such tears are the price for the highest perfection. So Krishna appreciates the genuine tears of his devotees 100 times more than the pure Ganga water. Brahma was at this point. Sukadev Goswami describes to us how he paid his obeisances. There is this Sanskrit word which I have forgotten, but it means repeatedly offering obeisances. Lord Brahma was falling down like a danda. Dandavat means traditionally to fall down like this. Boom, like a, look at this, thermos. He will show us how to make a dandavat now. Pang. The
the Tamils will not kneel down, or the stick will not kneel down. It's a sign of great humility traditionally. I recommend you do it like Prabhupada showed us, you know. I just want to say the mood of what it is. A danda, a stick, has no way to, you know, make some make it easy. It has to go the hard way. Bang! That's how Brahma came down. Bang! It means you feel yourself so humble. You feel I'm useless. I bang! Bang! Hare Krishna! Then even who was down, he thought, what a fool I am. Now I can't see the beauty of Krishna. You know, Krishna was standing before him. So he was rising again. Looked at Krishna, tears in his eyes, and again, oh, and I offended my Lord. Bang! Again, Dandavat. And he thought, ah, I can't stay like this with Krishna. If Krishna is before me, he's Mukunda. He's so beautiful. Let me look one more time. So he got up again. He saw Krishna, and I heard him. Bang! Repeatedly. This is how it is. Until finally he thought, I better say some prayers now. I really did something wrong. And then he started in a faltering voice. He sat on his knees and he saw Lord Mukunda standing under a tree. And he said these amazing prayers, the Brahma's prayers to Lord Krishna, which form the 14th chapter of this, of the 10th canto. There is in Vrindavan a place where this happened. Who of you knows Manasi Ganga in Vrindavan? Oh, this is a good, then I can describe. It's between Manasi Ganga and Haridev Mandir. It's called Brahma Kund. The tears of Lord Brahma were building a lake, Brahma Kund. He was crying so much, not over a lifetime, but in one go. Around this lake, there are four other lakes which represent the four sampradayas, because all the four sampradayas are in allegiance, in agreement. Krishna is the supreme, and we should bow down before him. There are different deities installed. Manasi Devi is there, Yogamaya is there, and one can go there and pray to Lord Krishna with folded hands. Devotees like to go there to also become free of the Maya, which has covered them. We can also go there. I didn't know that this is there. I will go this year there. If you want to find me in this lake, the lake of tears, which bathe Lord Krishna. There's also one mystical tree. It's called an Ashok tree. And at one day in the month of Vaishaka, I think it's April? Vaishaka. And is it April or when is Vaishaka? April, May, maybe. Like this. One day it happens that this beautiful tree burst into full bloom. Still today. You can sit before it. When you know the day, the Brijvasis are, and at one moment it goes like, boom! You know, these wonderful Ashok flowers will be all over, because it's a special place. Yeah, it's a special day, place, the place of repentance. Hare Krishna.
I've come to the end of this presentation. I've also come to the end of this particular presentation for the Belkane devotees of the Brahma Vimoha Lila. There's much more. If you want to hear it again, so that you remember why Krishna doesn't let go of the rice, then you please do come to our Govardhan retreat this year. It will be special Govardhan retreat, special celebration, and we will hear at the places where it happened about wonderful Krishna. I thank you very much. I have to now look. Oh, it's not so late. Do you have a question regarding this? Bhavada Prabhu has a question. Bhakti Granda has a question. And our devotee has a question. You have a good name? Gauranga Prabhu. So, Adoy Achandika. This is the Nityanandakari, then pass. Okay, we will be as fast as possible. Who was first? Bhavada, please speak in good Yugoslavian language.
Thank you for a wonderful lecture.
And
I'd like to ask you. Explain something about how Krishna is always smiling, he's never angry. There is one magnificent scene from Kurukshetra. Krishna said that he is not going to fight. He took a role of the Arjuna chariot driver. There was a battle.
Arjuna
had a problem
with
the wheel, the chariot wheel, so he had to come down from the
chariot. Bhishma je
and the father Bhishma strengthened the bow to shoot the arrow.
Krishna
couldn't tolerate that.
And
in order to protect his devotee, he attacked.
He went to attack
the grandfather Bhishma. And grandfather Bhishma was in ecstasy. He put the bow down. He smiled. Was Krishna also smiling in that situation? Or Krishna wanted to satisfy the grandfather Bhishma, who was in night.
Yes, night. Really wonderful question, Bhavada Prabhu. Wonderful. Wonderful. I can generally Krishna is always smiling, but Balaram not. It is described when Lord Krishna was was fighting with the wrestlers in Kamsa's wrestling arena, he was smiling. Balaram was red, his eyes were red like glowing copper. So Balaram is the part of Krishna who is not smiling. And he is Guru Tattva, and the Guru is also not always smiling. He is sometimes intense. Hari Sori Prabhu has talked about Prabhupada. He had three degrees of intensity when he was getting angry. I saw it one time, and I was hiding under a pot in the kitchen. Prabhupada was because he has to correct the wayward souls. But Krishna is
usually smiling. I can imagine, I'm now not so, I try to remember. Maybe our Dhanavi Maharaj can help us. Dhanavi Maharaj, the question is, can you remember a time when Krishna is not smiling and is really looking angry? There must be a time, isn't it, when his devotee is attacked or something? Do we know something? it's a difficult question. Or maybe we have to think about it a little bit. We will think about it and get back. But we know that Krishna cannot tolerate offenses against his devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke about that. And we know in Chaitanya, but Krishna, as Krishna avatar, I mean, he usually looks very happy. I mean, what can be happy? Bhavada, I have to think about it. You have really put a question to me where I will get back to you. Bhakti Granta, your question. English, maybe, because there is translation.
I would like to ask you, Maharaj, once you told to a devotee a story, I have heard it from you, that the Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained this material world as an anvil, and the spiritual soul as a piece of iron, and the material energy as a hammer.
Yeah, yeah.
And the hammer have to go very strongly to put the piece of iron in a proper shape.
Yeah.
And I would like to connect it with your class, how you said that we have to got this ego breakdown in order that we can become really a humble servant of Krishna. And I'm a little thoughtful now, because you also mentioned in the class that Lord Brahma cannot penetrate the illusory energy of the world. So in comparison to him, I became a little discouraged what is my chances in this regard. And actually, how we know that this ego breakdown happened? What is the qualities that the devotee have after this, and how he's look like, and how is he behaving, how is he thinking?
A very good question. Once one very learned godbrother of Srila Prabhupada, UBL Kapoor, he was a professor in the Allahabad University, professor of philosophy. I mean, really an academic and a good devotee, obvious. He went to Prabhupada and said, can you give me what you have? Love of Godhead. Prabhupada said, I know the formula how to get it. Give me the formula how to get it. And then Prabhupada said, Trinarapi Sudichena Taro Iva Sahishnuna Amani Namanadena Ketaniya Sadahari. In this verse you find the four qualities which you are looking for. You know, what is it when, you know, just for lecturing I said ego breakdown, because it's something which everyone can remember, even those who do not listen very carefully. That word is something, you know, it's pride. You speak of pride, you do have to have some sense of identity, you know, but what it means is but it needs to be purified, that sense of you need to have a pure ego, pure identity in that. We don't want this pride, this inflation. And so what this means is, yeah, we have heard it. We should become humbler than the straw in the grass. And there is a verse which says, the grass, the devotee will think, I'm so useless. But look, the grass, it does service. It feeds the cow. It's very useful. And it is also covering the grass hut of a devotee. Very good, but I'm so useless. What have I done? Some mercy came my way, and you know, but what have I really done? So this is the humility, lower than the straw and the grass. Tolerant. Bhakti Girandaji, tolerance, that is really, everyone can go. It's very easy. It's the easier than any yoga exercise.
The head.
But really easy. Tolerance, there you can see who is humble or not. When the so-called humble one, if a little thing comes his way, and he's not able to tolerate, you know, he's still on the way to humility. But it's good that he tries in some ways. Huh? But tolerance, here you know. Tolerance, more tolerant than the tree who stands in the rain. We all run when there's when there is rain in Frushkagora. Ah, Prabhu, give me your umbrella. Tree standing there, ready to offer respect and not ask respect in return. That is the four things when you know you are coming to that point of qualification where you with Krishna, always with the holy name, you know, in this most, you can be with Krishna in the form of the holy name, always. You know. Don't be discouraged. You think, where am I? What are my hopes, isn't it? Think more of like this. Let us not forget the way up is the way down. There is a feeling of hopelessness that you feel, by my strengths, I have no hope. I can't do. I have no qualification. It's good. This is desired. And we hear such katha. This is why we hear this, you know, that we come to this place. And because then you can really take shelter. You have to understand one thing. Bhakti is dependent on Krishna. Obviously, you have to give your best. But the most important things which happen to you will be happening due to Krishna's mercy. You remember there is this monkey way and the cat way. The monkey is transported by its cat mother and it has to hang there by his own strength. And because he's weak, he's often lost. In Vrindavan you see this. Often monkey babies are just falling, especially when their mothers are just so wild and uncivilized and run and jump and don't consider their baby, you know, that baby has to. And there's a cat way. The strong cat comes and takes the kitten and takes it out of harm's reach. So in bhakti, we pray to Lord Krishna to take us. The nature is so difficult to overcome. Bhakti Granta, the word is impossible actually. Durajaya, it's very, very difficult to go. It means essentially for us in Kali Yuga, impossible. However, one who surrenders to Krishna easily crosses beyond. Feel more helpless. This is not enough how you feel. Much more is required. Hare Krishna. Bhakti Granda. Koti Gauri. Who is next? Audaya Chandika. We will soon end. Yes, Audaya Chandika. Here is your microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj, for a wonderful lecture. I just read in 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam the story of Indra, who made offense to his spiritual master because he had been offered to him obeisances, so that's why his spiritual master disappeared. And because of that, Indra and demigods lost their power, so the demons attacked them, and they're almost, they were losing. So they took shelter, they went to Vishnu for praying for help. And Vishnu came and gave them help so they win the battle. But Prabhupada said in a commentary, he commented that demigods, they always, whenever there is a problem, they always pray to Vishnu. The devotee, he doesn't even think to disturb his Lord because of his problems, because the devotee knows that this is only my reaction of my sinful actions. So you mentioned also, like, when we have a problem, where we take shelter. So from this point of view.
Hare Krishna. Very good question. Very good question. These are good. Yes. Daya Chandika quotes Srila Prabhupada that we should not pray to God for solution of our problems. You know, so now we have one statement and we have another statement which are opposing. Now it's very important at this moment we must understand everything. This is very important for solving problems in scripture. Sometimes there are opposing statements, and it is always said you must now understand the context, the larger term context. So the context of this statement is, which you have said, that we don't want God to be our servant, but we want to serve Krishna. It is a very strong point in our tradition. Even if God comes personally, the devotee feels it's not good to offer service, it's not good to take service from him. This is how a pure devotee thinks on the high level. You remember how Radharani came? This is a story which we have heard often in our movement, and cooked sweet rice for Sanatana and Rupa Goswamis. You remember? Tir Kadamba, I think it did happen. And then they ate this, and Sanatana Goswami said to Rupa Goswami, "This is not good. We should serve Radharani, she should not serve us." This is the idea of bhakti. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur discusses this idea in one of his works. It's not Madhurya Kadambini. And he says it's the general policy of the devotees to never ask the Lord. But when some trouble comes, the devotee naturally runs to Krishna like a child runs to the father, and this is not violating the principles of bhakti. It is so. You have two things. Usually you don't go, and we have heard this often thematized in our lectures, to ask, give us our daily bread, I'm hungry, and so on. And this is severely criticized in our tradition. But when there is a situation, you can only go to the Lord if you are God conscious. And that is not a fault. That is the intimate relationship between the devotees who call out to the Lord when they're when there is a car accident, they go like Krishna. You know, it is not that they want to make the Lord the servant. That's not their idea when they call Krishna. They just, no, Krishna, who can help me in this world? Only Krishna. At that time, you can't go. Vishwanatha Chakravarti is very clear about this. It's like the helpless child comes to the parent. It pleases the parent. The child is not thinking, I make my father and mother now suffer or work for me. It's that idea would be counterproductive to bhakti. It's another situation, although it looks like that. Another motivation. Not like this. You know, also we in India, they have this Om Jaya Jagadisha Hare, and they beg the Jagadisha, the controller of the universe, for many things. I never saw the translation. I only saw how speakers were criticizing this prayer, and because it's very motivated, but they beg for many things. That is not the idea. It's a helplessness, taking shelter. Ashraya, thinking the Lord wants only protector and only maintainer, like Draupadi. Oh Krishna, she calls. Or Gajendra, the elephant. These are the examples. They don't want to make the Lord work for them. Their idea is they want to take shelter at his lotus feet as their only consideration. I hope I have explained it nicely. Hare Krishna. Our last question for today. Nityananda Kari, you were last. But we really are running over time. But today we don't have so many seminars because our Vaishnavas are gone. So our Vaishnavas are gone. Our lecturers and gurus are gone. Actually, Nityananda Kari, wait a minute, so that no one gets restless. You can ask in the afternoon. So finished. Good. This is the last question now. Let's see.
I'd like to ask you, because you mentioned yesterday in the presentation,
uvijek nas podsjećao kako trebamo imati vjeru u Krišnu, kako trebamo
faith in Krishna, and we should feel Krishna much more, be full of enthusiasm.
I kako nas vidiš kako
nas kada see us every year, the enthusiasm goes down. So I'd like to ask you from your practical experience, maybe that's my problem, but also maybe the problem of others. When we associate with other devotees, our doubts disappear and we have some inspiration. But over the time, that again diminishes. And again, when we associate with devotees, the enthusiasm comes back. So we don't associate that often these circles with such devotees. So how to have this enthusiasm constantly, even when we are alone?
Oh, good question.
So that we can cope with this enthusiasm problem.
Good question.
This afternoon I intend to give a long answer to this question. Here, allow me to give a short answer. You have correctly marked that the enthusiasm in devotional service comes from devotee association. And you have said, here we have it, and at home we don't have it. I could only recommend something to you is that what I have seen in my life in Krishna consciousness, enthusiasm comes when you share Krishna consciousness with someone else. It is I don't know how it, I mean, I can try to reason, but it's difficult to fully understand. But when you go and share Krishna consciousness with those who are in need. Maybe you say, I'm not Mr. Lecturer. I'm not like Dila Prashanta, who's talking in the United Nations and so on. I'm a simple one. But you can share Krishna consciousness with others, and somehow your enthusiasm will come. You will
believe me, even if you are shaking with fear, take a pot with cookies and go somewhere where people are and give them cookies. Something will happen. Krishna is very satisfied by those who give Krishna consciousness. This is just a tip, but if you are interested for a longer answer, it will come in the afternoon. I want to end now something, but I want to say something with great pleasure. His Holiness Dhanavir Maharaj was kind enough to offer all the books. He has a book table there. And this morning, my day is a success. I found 4 books which I don't have as of yet. 4 nectarian books which he has written. I have the others. You can go and look at the book table. There's also first class research work of a really serious Vaishnav scholar in Krishna's pastimes. Gaga Sanghita is available there. Many new volumes have come up, and it's very easy. You don't have to carry the books home. You can just put it on an order receipt, and it will be sent to you for free. Yes? This is the service. First class service. So it is in the back. Where is Madhva Muni approaching? Yes, Madhva Muni is approaching now. He will tell us the orientation of the day. Thank you very much, and Hare Krishna.